Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 14th day of August.
Time warp.
Almost the day after the Ides of August. Anno Domini 2021. And you, you lucky people, whenever you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 9 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Isn't it the Ides Eve?
No. March, May, something in November are the Ides on the 15th. Other month it's on the 13th. Because it used to be 13 months, and then every August was Augustus.
Is it always the half of the month?
Yeah, not even half the month.
Yeah.
So those are the 15ths, and every other day was the 13th. Of course, we don't have those same months anymore because Augustus stole one, and Julius stole one. That's why July.
Why is it that July, August, September, October, are not the 8th, 9th, and 10th month of the year. And the guy who did that should be stabbed.
And one of them was.
Yeah.
Oops. On Tuesday, Microsoft released software updates to plug at least 44 security vulnerabilities in its Windows operating systems and related products.
Wait a minute. I'm shocked. Wait a minute.
Sit. Get it. I'm sorry. I should have told you to sit first.
I know it. Still my heart.
I apologize. They warned that attackers already are pouncing on one of the flaws, which, ironically enough, involves an easy-to-exploit bug in the software component responsible for patching Windows. Microsoft said attackers have seized upon a weakness in the Windows Update Medic service. Update Medic is a new service that lets users repair Windows Update components from a damaged state so the device can continue to receive updates. Redmond says that while the bug is being actively exploited, it is not aware of exploit code publicly available. That doesn't mean there isn't any exploit code publicly available. It means that Redmond's not aware of it. The flaw is an elevation of privilege vulnerability that affects Windows 10 and Windows Server 2019, meaning it can be leveraged in combination with another vulnerability to let attackers run code of their choice as administrator on a vulnerable system. According to Microsoft, it's a critical flaw, which is their highest level. It's one that can be exploited remotely to take complete control of a vulnerable Windows computer and with little or no interaction with the user. Top of the heap again this month, Microsoft also took another stab at fixing a broad class of weaknesses in its printing software. Last month, the company rushed out an emergency update to patch Print Nightmare, a critical hole in its Windows print spooler software that was already being attacked in the wild. Since then, a number of researchers have discovered holes in that patch, allowing them to circumvent its protection. Oh, and on Wednesday, just the day after Patch Tuesday, Microsoft announced yet another print spooler bug, which is, of course, unpatched. Before you update, please make sure you've backed up your system and/or important files twice. It's not uncommon for a Windows Update package to hose your system or prevent it from booting properly, and some updates have been known to erase or corrupt files. So do yourself a favor and back up before installing any patches. Windows 10 even has some built-in tools to help you do that, either on a per-file folder basis or by making a complete and bootable copy of your hard drive all at once. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is more bugs on Patch Tuesday. And your choices are, so what else is new? At least they patched some of them. I'm getting mighty tired of this. Windows? No, thank you. And other. So far, we have 24 votes. And Windows, no, thank you, is just ahead of so what else is new. I'm getting mighty tired of this. Other has 3, and at least they patched some of them has 2. Look, if you've said other, or if you just have more to say about this, and I know you people, you do. Head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. Second forum down in the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 14-OG-21. More bugs on Patch Tuesday. We have three posts there so far, and you're welcome to join us there and have your say. And, of course, you're welcome to join us here. It's easy. Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You know, the thing that gets me most is that it is so obvious now that patches come out on Tuesday once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, a new exploit comes out.
Yeah.
They've got a minimum of 1 month to exploit the hole.
Well, it's just like viruses. I mean, that's the way they used to do viruses. They'd that's wait right. for them to patch one virus, and then that following day, they'd have another one that worked around that.
Yep.
And what a lot of times happens is the bad guys know that not everyone's going to patch anyway, so you might have years before a server is patched, if ever.
That's right.
And it's Microsoft. Fact, there's no guarantee that patch is going to work.
That's the other thing. The Exchange bug that's running rampant was actually discovered in like October, November, and the researchers notified Microsoft. And general convention is you give them 90 days to release a patch before you tell the public because you don't want the bad guys to figure out your problems. And they gave Microsoft 6 months. And they still didn't get everything patched. So then they went public anyway to pressure Microsoft into doing this. And then I think then the DOJ got involved and issued a press release requiring all government agencies to update their Exchange servers. And they even told the FBI to run a program to scan Exchange servers and patch them themselves.
Right.
So just like the bad guy can get into your Exchange server, good guys could get into your computer and fix the problems, but it's illegal.
Right.
The bad guys don't care. They're already doing something illegal.
Right.
But this time, the FBI had a court order. So they patched something like 10,000 servers that they could get access to fix the problem. Because a lot of times what the bad guys would do, too, is once they get into a server, they'll patch the hole behind them so no one else can get in.
Yeah, they close the door guys, behind them.
Yeah, the bad guys fight each other all the time to break into the systems that are already broken into.
Right. So, yeah, please do your updates, but first, please back up. You should be doing backups anyway, but even so, do an extra backup before you do an update. It is always the safest thing to do. There's nothing more heartbreaking than I tried to do a backup, and it failed, and now I've lost all the pictures of my grandparents and my grandchildren who are, you know, I don't see them but twice a year. So, please, back up.
And look at your backup. Did I tell
Make sure it's a good backup.
Right. Yeah. Did I tell you the story about the guy with the CDs? He had a stack of CDs and for years was backing up his Quicken file. Yeah, great. So then one day he lost it. He brought in this stack of CDs. We put the first disk in, and it's a shortcut to the Quicken application. Not even the data file, the application file.
Yeah.
And it's only a shortcut.
Yeah.
And with a sinking feeling, we started looking at every CD. Every single one of them was a copy of the shortcut to the application. None of them were the data.
Right.
But he thought he was backing up. And in fact, he probably, if he'd put the disk back in and looked, he would have seen the Quicken icon and thought it was right.
Right, exactly.
And probably even if you double-clicked it on the CD.
It would work.
It would work because it's on your own computer. The shortcut would point to your own Quicken, which would look at your own data.
Yep. Too bad. That is too bad. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Dan from an undisclosed location near Watertown, New York. Hi, Dan. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Almost 32 years you guys have been on the air.
I know.
That's amazing.
11 months and 11 days, so we've got less than a month to go.
Yep.
You ever take vacations?
Yes.
Here and there.
Over 32 years, yes. We've taken probably 30 or 40 vacations.
But we usually run a repeat that day, so right. So you can enjoy an encore episode.
Right.
But that's not many. You could probably count it on one hand and still have a finger or two left over.
Yeah, if a major holiday like Christmas falls on a Saturday, we take that day off.
And New Year's.
Well, yeah, and that would be 2 weeks in the same year. So, but yeah, generally,
no, that'd be different years.
Yeah.
So what, a week apart, but different years.
No. Yeah.
Isn't New Year's 7 days after Christmas?
Yeah, but it's a new year.
Oh, yeah, it's a new year. I see what you're saying. Okay, well, I'm apologizing for whatever comes out of Steve's mouth throughout the 2 hours we're on.
He's having problems today, did you know?
Yeah.
I am. Not I don't know what happened.
Not enough coffee?
You aren't kidding. I only had two cups this morning.
Not two pots.
Yeah, only two cups. Exactly right. They weren't particularly, they were just standard size mugs. They weren't even my size mugs. Sorry, Dan, go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. Well, I remember I used to be able to do this, and now I don't know if I can or not, so you guys can help me out on this. On startup, many programs get executed when I turn the machine on.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I get a series of black windows that open and close before I can see anything that's on them. How can I execute the boot process in a so I can see each line as it executes and then either approve it or not approve the command?
Well, you can see what's in startup.
Yeah. Well, that could be something. You'd have to go into msconfig and look through your startup files.
Yeah.
What sounds like it's happening is it's running a command script, and it runs so fast you don't have time to read the message before it closes again.
What you can do is in the run menu, type shell:startup, no spaces, shell:startup. That will open the current user's startup folder. And then you can see all the items that are in your startup folder.
Yeah, Windows used to have a safe boot and confirm every command in your autoexec.bat. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think it can do that anymore. I'm searching. But you can at least see what programs it's launching through your startup items and your in msconfig, because they're in several places.
Right, and that may not show you all of them, because it may also be that things like Microsoft Office start in the background. You would have to go into Office to tell it no. And any other of those sorts of things that you normally that you added, many of them will say, do you want to launch on startup? You might have said yes when you installed them. Or they may just assume you want to start them like Microsoft does.
Mm-hmm.
And the heck with what you actually want. So you've got a little detective work to do, but you can start in the startup folder.
Okay.
Now, hold on a second. shell:startup will show you your startup folder. There's also shell:common:startup. shell:common:startup. And that will show you the all users startup folder. So there's at least two places you got to look, plus any applications that you might have said run in startup.
Okay, yeah, I don't recall authorizing any of these script things to start up. So there,
it was during an installation of some program you installed, and it was in that installer window.
Yeah, you can quick see.
No, I and assume sometimes, like I said, they don't tell you. They don't ask. Right. They just do.
But if you're running, say, Windows 10,
right.
All right, if you look down in the lower right-hand corner, there's all the things that are running currently.
But not all of them show an icon.
Right, no. But it'll show you some of them that you could quick look to see if those are some of them that you want to get rid of.
Right, right. Yeah, no, those are the easy-to-spot ones.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got to do, like Nick said, the detective work and going into the others.
Yeah.
Because they could be what they call TSRs. Terminate and stay resident.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that there's some gypsies that inhabited my computer and I want to get rid of them.
Yep. Right.
Well, also you can dance the security tango. That'll find a lot of them, but not all of them necessarily.
Okay. And the undisclosed location is Sackett's Harbor, which is up near Watertown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sackett's Harbor. I haven't been there in decades.
Well, now you've okay. now you've exposed now you've
it's no longer undisclosed.
Undisclosed. Now you've disclosed it.
Yep. Oh, hey, thanks a lot, guys, and keep going for another 32 years.
That's the plan. Thanks, Dan.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Yeah, most operating systems have something akin to a startup folder. And many things are in there that you wouldn't necessarily think should be.
Yeah.
In there.
It's like a lot of programs, you install them and they assume you're going to want to run them every single. Spotify does that, and I really get annoyed about that. I want to run it every single time, and so it puts itself in your startup folder, so it always runs. Skype is another one. Why would you install it if you didn't want it to run every time? Because I had one call I needed to make.
Right, exactly. And you can stop it, but you have to do it by going into Skype and saying, don't run at startup.
Yep.
And so there's many of these programs that do this. So you need to be aware. And some of them, like I said, will ask at installation. So be very careful. Don't get click happy. Read every single prompt. And uncheck the things you don't want.
And you can uncheck them because quite often programs come with bloatware and they get extra stuff on there because then they're paying them extra money to include it in the install and they have a checkbox on it. And it doesn't inhibit the original program, say you were installing Adobe Reader or whatever. And it might have other stuff on it. You can uncheck those other stuff to install, and it'll still install the original program.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I'll be brief. I was listening at a radio program yesterday evening, and it was saying that Apple is preparing to put some kind of face recognition program in the iOS, so kind of goes after the bad guys that go after child pornography or any other thing like that. I was just wondering what your take is on that. Some people are really shouting good things about it, and others are saying it's another way for people to come in the back door for privacy. Just wanted to get your opinion on it. I'll listen offline, and you guys are still doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's the CSAM technology.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it last month. And Apple did publish a more detailed thing on here's what we actually do.
Right.
And it does happen only on your phone.
We should back up and explain a little bit.
Yeah, give a little history.
Right. The basic idea here is that Apple is very concerned about child pornography. Yay, that's a good thing.
Darn right.
That's a very good thing. There's a thing called Child Sexual Abuse Material, CSAM or CSAM. Obviously, that stuff is illegal.
And it's been put together by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children from existing cases.
Right. And what Apple is doing is monitoring people's photos and messages for CSAM material.
And Google and Facebook are already doing it, but that didn't cause the outcry that has happened after Apple said they're going to do it.
Right. People expect better of Apple.
Yeah.
But the point is that it is controversial, and it's for child protection. But the problem is not so much that as the fact that the same technology could be used for less lofty purposes. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's going to complain that anybody's looking for CSAM material.
Heck no.
I'm happy to help them any way I can.
You and me both.
The problem becomes the next step. Well, if you can look for people, you can look for CSAM.
What's next?
Right. You can look. If you've seen the movies. We just searched 200 million people's phones and found this guy. We found Jason Bourne walking in the background of this photo. So we know he's in Madrid or wherever the heck. Right. That is pure science fiction Except now it's not.
Right.
It's not anymore.
But the volume of data is immense, and it doesn't happen as fast as it does in the movies.
Right. But it can happen now.
Yeah. I mean, wherever you go now, you don't realize it, but you're on camera.
Right. So that people are worried that they're going to use the technology behind searching for CSAM to search for people for other reasons. And that is a violation of privacy laws, at least in the United States, at least so far. And so people are very upset about that. It's less that they want Apple to stop doing it, but they want assurances that it will not be used for any other purpose. And that's the big thing right now. And of course, you know, God bless Apple. All they did was come out and say, hey, we're going to do this, and it's going to be great. And everybody said, well, no, there's a little more to it than that.
And we're going to protect the children.
And what are you going to do about that part? And they had no answer, which was the stupid part on Apple's part. They should have been prepared and said, and oh, by the way, but they didn't. And they basically said, take it on trust, and nobody trusts anybody anymore. So that's a problem.
And they have a lot more answers posted on their website now.
Yeah. Hold on, Larry. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, with Larry from Rochester. No, Larry's gone. Okay, sorry, Larry. Without Larry from Rochester, although we can always call back, and then it will be Larry from Rochester. And all of you, it's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported. Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. First, let me say that Apple has announced that it will not expand the CSAM technology. Whether or not that's true or will remain true, we don't know. But they have announced it so far. The second thing is we had a question in the chat, in the YouTube chat. William asks, is there any way to stop YouTube from recommending videos in a foreign language? Yes-ish. You can set your preferred language. If you go into YouTube and click on your picture in the upper right, down in the pop-up menu, you can select your language. That mostly works. If you watch a lot of foreign language stuff.
Or just one accidentally.
For example, if you watch a lot of anime that's in Japanese, but you read the subtitles. You watch enough of that, and YouTube will start recommending Japanese language stuff, no matter what language you have set.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if you set your language, you'll mostly see things in that language.
Well, it should be no surprise anyways. Anytime you go in Facebook and look at something else, whether it's cars, car insurance, or houses, all of a sudden you get flooded with ads like that.
Yeah. Before I discovered this trick, I watch a lot of kabaddi, which is a sport. Let's call it a sport. from India. So I was getting a lot of Tamil language video recommendations. But if you ever need to look up a sport that you really should be paying attention to, it's kabaddi. Basically, people looked at tag and thought, what's the problem with tag? Oh, not enough bodily contact. So we'll include
full contact tag.
Full contact tag. The second part is, what's the problem with soccer? Oh, the ball. And the third problem is, I can never remember what the name of the sport I'm watching is. So we'll have the person in kabaddi has to, in one breath through the entire play, repeat the word kabaddi over and over and over again.
Can they say it once really slow and drawn out?
Nope. Kabaddi, 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 kabaddi. The whole time they're playing tag, full contact tag. I love kabaddi. K-A-B-B-A-D-I, I believe is how it's pronounced.
One B, two Ds.
One B, two Ds. K-A-B-A-D-D-I. I truly love kabaddi.
There's an international governing body. It has been played in the Asian Games equivalent of the Olympics. And maybe it'll be in the Olympics.
It's an even more easily played game than soccer. Soccer, mm-hmm. you need a ball. Kabaddi, you only need people.
Apparently, there's a variant called Punjabi kabaddi that they work in a circle instead of a rectangular field.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Pat from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Pat. What's up?
Oh, I don't know. I just almost fell asleep at kabaddi or whatever the heck.
Yeah, kabaddi, 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 kabaddi. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm awake. So anyway, let me start with a compliment for each of you three guys. First of all, Dave, I did take the sound bites and put it in my phone. So whenever I'm away from home, I can call you.
There you go.
Well, we can't wait to hear from
you. Steve, when I called about the MiFi product, you said check on the return policy. And Nick, when you talked to me, you said be careful because different parts of the house have better reception. And it turns out I bought one, brought it home, or brought it to my new location. Took about 2 minutes to come on. But as soon as I went to pick the network, boom, it was right there. And I said, sold. So I'm keeping it.
Good for you.
So, yeah, it worked. And now, I didn't notice when I went to another area, it went down about by half. So I will probably experiment maybe even higher up in the house. But anyway, it did work, and I was very pleased just with it. It showed up all the time.
Well, do that. Yeah, do that testing so you'll know where in the house you can expect
your best
signals. And like I said, there are a couple of apps. One called Wi-Fi Analyzer, and I forget what the Mac one is called. So one for each phone, and you can turn that on and walk around the house and see the signal change.
Yeah, I think I might have had it one time, but after you take one walk around your house, it's kind of like, yeah, I'd been there and done that. So anyway, it does work. I just thought I'd report back to you guys.
Appreciate
and,
that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your help, too.
Yep. Good luck with it. Thanks.
Yep. See you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the MiFi is a cellular modem for a cellular wireless modem for the home. So it gets its signal from the cell system, in his case Verizon, because it's a MiFi, and then turns that into a standard Wi-Fi signal for all the devices in your home.
Yep. So many cell phones have the feature built in called hotspot, but apparently it doesn't work as well as a dedicated standalone hotspot device.
Right. Interestingly, I connect my phone to my Chromebook, and it came up and said, you know, you can use the hotspot on your phone mm-hmm. if you haven't got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice reminder.
They added a feature in the macOS that you can set your iPhone hotspot as the preferred network.
Oh, nice.
I would rather use Wi-Fi and not have to pay data charges on my phone.
Right. Well, people who have unlimited.
Yeah.
I told you this story once. Back when we had unlimited, and we do not now, but when we had unlimited, my wife and I took a train ride to New York. And on the train, she was doing her farming on Facebook. And somebody came by, these two women came by, and one of them said, is there Wi-Fi in this train? And Elaine said, oh, no, my husband's letting me use his Wi-Fi hotspot. And they both went, aw, that's so sweet.
And they didn't demand you give them the password?
They were hoping he'd offer.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not sweet. It's self-preservation. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Spencerport, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a Moto G that's about 4 or 5 years old and been dropped 100 times. Looking online, saw a Pixel 3 and a Pixel 3 XL.
Yeah.
Brand new. The XL is $199 with a brand new warranty a year from Google. I don't know, is the hardware outdated? I don't need state of the art. obviously I'm using the Moto G.
Right.
So just curious what I'm getting into if I get that phone, new but old.
Right.
Yeah, the 5 is the current model, so exactly. The 4 is a year old, the 3 is a year older than that, which is one of the reasons the price has gone down so much. Mm-hmm. And actually, the 4 didn't get very good reviews. It wasn't that much better than the 3. So a lot of people with 3s never bothered upgrading to the 4.
Nick and I both have the 3As, XLs, and love them. I mean, this is my third Pixel phone, and I won't have anything else but Pixel.
Yeah, the good and the bad. The Pixel phones are direct from Google. So, like with Macs, iPhones, they get the updates first, they are the cleanest, and they know they're going to work.
Right.
The bad news with the Pixel 3 XL and the Pixel 3 is that there are no guaranteed Android updates after October of this year.
Okay.
That is their end of life. Now,
for all Pixels?
For Pixel 3,
all the Pixel 3
and 3 XL.
Because it's been out 3 years already.
Right. Now, they have said that the new one should get 5 years of updates, but they haven't verified that yet. So if you were to get, for example, a 4, that's not until next year. And the 4A is 2023, and the 5 is also 2023.
Okay.
So that just, you know, is the phone going to stop working? No. I had a Pixel 1 that was 2 years out of date before I got the 3, and it ran just fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
But you do only have, what is it, just 6 months now?
Two
months now. Oh, right.
We're in August.
Yeah. But given,
wow.
But given that, you know, you said that it's limited use, you know, I mean.
Well, and the fact that this has no guaranteed updates doesn't mean they won't release an update for something critical that's discovered.
Yeah. Right.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. The it expires in October, perhaps.
Right.
What is the security?
So far,
if I go forward with it,
right. So far, I can only say that for the original Pixel, even a year and a half after it was supposed to be end of life, I was still getting security updates only.
Good. That's kind of the main one you want.
Right, yeah. Right. But I'm saying, I was still getting those, but I cannot promise.
Sure.
You know, that's the deal with that right now, at least. And as Google themselves says, those are the minimum update and support periods. And they specifically say no guaranteed updates.
Okay.
So whatever that may mean.
Well, that I take it as meaning that if all of a sudden they stop, you know, saying they're going to update it, you can't hold them to anything.
Well, right. Yeah. But the point is, it doesn't mean that they're going to update.
But they go above and beyond, it seems.
Yeah, but in general, the 4 has a slightly better processor, slightly more RAM, slightly better camera. You know, is slightly better enough for the cost difference.
Right.
And maybe not, but once you add in the longer support life,
right,
that might tip you to the 4.
The other thing to remember is that generally what happens, is a Pixel version comes out, and about a year later, the A version of that one comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And the A version is more affordable. They use slightly lower components and et cetera, et cetera. But by slightly lower, I mean slightly lower. I've got the A, and so does Dave, the Pixel 3 A XL, and they're fine phones.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had the guy at the Verizon store get ticked off at me because he wanted to talk me into the 3 XL, which costs a heck of a lot more, and I said, I don't need all that. Yeah, but it's got this and that. I said, no, I just want the 3. He couldn't get me out of the store fast enough because he was ticked off because evidently he doesn't make the better spiff on a 3A versus a 3.
Yeah, couldn't upsell you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, he was thoroughly disgusted.
The 3 is a very fine phone. The 3A is a slightly less very fine phone. So either one will do you well. You do need to be aware that you will be out of, you'll be end of life in 2 months weren't the 90s just 10 years ago?
In the late 1900s, I remember doing something.
Just out of curiosity, how does do you guys have any idea what a 4 or a 4A would be these days?
I'm afraid I don't.
I didn't expect you to, but I figured I'd throw it out since I'm
here. Do. My wife has a 4.
There you go.
She her lovely son got her a new phone because her other one was dying. And the only reason, what really dies in a phone nowadays, and the reason I had to switch Pixel phones, and same with Nick, from our last one to this one, was that the battery wouldn't hold a charge. I could get it, my old one, my 2, I could get full charge in the morning. By 11 o'clock, it was down to 40% and not doing much of anything. So it's the battery life that poops out, and you can't, you know, like the old days, replace a battery for another one. So that's the only thing. And my wife right now, she loves her 4. She's had more fun with that, and like they say, a little bit better camera, but, you know, not much different than my 3.
Didn't they upgrade the software for the camera when they
put
the new phones out?
Yeah,
and it's amazing what they can do in software with the same camera or even a technically lower quality camera. They can make up for it a lot in software.
Google's new chip that they're putting in their phones is specifically for photo. No, not specifically, but one of its main features is the ability to do all kinds of magic with the pictures. But yeah, the 3 is an excellent phone.
Yep, I'd get it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I can't, you know. Given the caveat of 2 months of updates.
I understand you endorse it completely, but you can't guarantee beyond 2 months what might happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Your mileage may vary, but I think you'll be fine.
Yep.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a great
especially
afternoon.
For $200.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's a almost $1,000 phone when it first came out.
Right.
And especially a lot of carriers will have payment plans, so you don't have to spend it up front.
Now, this is on Woot, so...
Yeah, grabbed the... Yeah,
yeah, I was about to say, is it on Woot today? I haven't looked at Woot yet today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go for it, Bill.
And I will say that I've bought many things from Woot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good company, and they do good stuff.
I preferred it before Amazon took them over, but I still like them.
Yeah, me too. I completely agree with you. Yes.
All right. You guys have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, for those of you who do not know, Woot at woot.com.
They have been around for how long? They've been around decades.
Long time.
Oh, they've got an iPhone 8 for $169.
Yeah.
That's better than my 7.
Yeah. It is. The basic idea was back in the day, they had what was called one day, one deal. They had one item for sale. They offered it at an exceptionally nice price. And when it was gone, it was gone. Then they expanded to the number of things they sold. And then they were bought by Amazon. And now a lot of the stuff they have is Amazon stuff.
So I can use my Amazon store card, couldn't I?
Yes. Yes, you could.
And 3% back.
Exactly. So there's just a lot of there's a lot of good stuff on Woot, and often it comes with often it's refurbished stuff, and I bought everything from them.
You buy the bag of crap and you get some cool stuff.
I buy the bag of crap and I get great stuff. You win the bag of crap. You don't buy it. You don't just go buy it. But yeah, there's some pretty pretty nice stuff, and if you're into checking it every day, like I've said many times, it doesn't necessarily mean that whatever they have is great. But if you're careful, you'll find some awfully good deals, and they're pretty nice. So but like I said, now they have a lot of Amazon basic stuff and that sort of thing, but they're still pretty cool.
Well, did you hear that one scam that's going around?
No.
Talking about sites. You'll see them pop up that you can get a whole pallet full of return stuff from Amazon. and you'll see all these different places saying, well, you can get this whole pallet of stuff that was returned for, you know, $69. And 90% of the time it's scams.
Yeah.
Even if it was a pallet of returns, stuff is returned for a reason.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So now you have a pallet full of crap. And so you use all the parts together and you get one working thing out of it. It's
if
probably
you
not
even,
worth the pallet.
But right. Even if you get the pallet for the price that they're talking about to have it shipped.
Right. Assuming you get the pallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
90% of the time it's, they just take your money and run.
Yep.
Because the site goes down as fast as they go up.
When I have bought things through Woot that were refurbished, they come with a warranty.
Yep.
And they come with a money back guarantee. And you can buy extended warranty. So you know they've been actually refurbished. And I have not yet gotten a dud.
Well,
my desktop came from them.
In 2004, we purchased, because when we were moving the shop from Brighton Henry to Townline Road to the my current location, we were putting up monitors on the wall. And I needed 7 monitors. And they were only 15-inch screens. But all 7 of those came from Woot. Back then you had to bid for it. And I put in for 8 of them. Because I needed 7 on the wall and 1 in the other room. And sure enough, I got them. And I was like, whoa! Because they had like 20-some-odd of them, but I happened to get the 8 of them that I needed. And we got them for a darn good price.
Yeah.
And knock on wood, 3 of them are still left downstairs. I haven't repurposed the others elsewhere. Are still working fine.
Cool. I bought 2 from, they had a deal. Not 2-for-1 price, but 2-for-less-than-2 price.
Yeah.
24-inch monitors, and Amelia needed one, so I got them. I've still got the other one in a box. She's been using hers, and it runs great.
Spare.
And not everything is used. Don't get that impression. These were new monitors, brand new monitors.
You know what you could do with that, though?
What could I do with that?
Mount it up on the wall.
Yes?
Get yourself a Raspberry Pi 400.
Oh!
And try playing around with it. That way, when you get it programmed, you can bring your 400 in and hook it up to that. That's got to be a 55-inch.
Yeah,
there.
You're pushing for me to do that, aren't you?
Yeah. I know you're. It's close.
I know. Right now, I'm. This is close.
Only get a couple sheets of paper through that.
Maybe one. Yeah.
Almost don't see daylight between the fingers.
Yeah. If you're interested in bargains, again, you got to know what you're looking at. But
yeah.
If you're interested in bargains, check out Woot.com.
Because they each day it always changes, folks.
And they have Woot offs.
Yeah.
Where they sell a bunch of stuff at a lower price until it's gone, then they put something else off.
Yeah.
Today is not a Woot off day, but anything you see on the site today will be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, it doesn't last long, and that's the whole thing. Once it's gone, folks.
Yep.
You can't sit there. Well, I'd like to put a rain check in. No, they don't work that way.
Right.
Uh-uh.
You buy it or you don't buy it, and now we're moving on. That's it. Yeah.
You who hesitate, lose.
Right. If you're interested in at least looking at that stuff, they have Chromebooks. I bought a couple of Chromebooks from them over the years, and they worked great. In fact, I bought this one, and this is my second one because the first one had a problem. And I wrote to them and said, I have a problem. And they said, fine, send it back. We'll send you a new one. And they did. You can't argue with that. They've got good.
They're good deals, and it's an honest company.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they will make good by if something is, you know, they claim that there's a warranty on it and something does go wrong. They will make good on it.
Right.
And I got to commend them on that because too many of them will sit there and, you know, take advantage of folks sometimes.
Right. But
on refurb stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But these come with a warranty. You can buy an extended warranty. If you're an Amazon customer, you sign on with your Amazon ID and you can get free shipping. So that works out. You don't get I do stuff through Smile, smile.amazon.com, mm-hmm. because then – a piece of the proceeds go to my wife's the church where my wife works. But in general, you can send them, I don't know, 1%, 1/10%. I don't know what the amount
is. It's about 0.5%.
0.5%. So
it's the Saturday Users Group. It does the same thing.
It good. So if you're not a member of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, but you do like your Macs.
Yeah, you can use that. So what's interesting is the Smile gives a donation to charity, and then there's a referral link that just is a refer payment. And so you tie the URL together to get both.
There you go. All right. That music tells us you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but don't go away. There's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. We'll be having more news. We'll be having more of your questions. We'll be having more of our possibly correct answers. And we'll have way too much of Dave Enright. So join us, take a quick bio break, and we'll be right back on the other side. See you then.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Well, it's time to update your Mac again. Mac OS Big Sur gets what might be its final update before Mac OS Monterey is released. And it's a biggie. Clocking in at over 2.5 gigabytes, Apple describes Big Sur 11.5.2 as bug fixes for your Mac. Do you need to rush out and install this? And are there any gotchas or catches to installing it? And how much of a hurry should I be in to install this front? According to Apple, this update has no published CVE entries, which means that unless you're being plagued by some bug or other that you're awaiting a fix on, you could hold off on updating for a while, as long as you're up to date on Big Sur 11.5.1, which contains some pretty important security updates. To update Mac OS, click on the Apple logo in the top left corner, go to System Preferences, find Software Update, download, install any available updates. From what I've seen, it seems that on the first boot up, users are given an option to set up accessibility features and to set up Apple Pay on their Macs. Other than that, who knows? As of yesterday, I didn't know, but maybe Steve now knows. Anyway, how'd your update go? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, from what we're hearing, it's badly needed bug fixes on things that got introduced in the 11.5.1. So if you're having some weird little problems, you probably won't install anyway.
Yeah.
I'll install mine after I finish processing the podcast today.
That's the best way to do that. Don't forget, people, before you update any operating system, make a good backup twice. Every possible operating system on the planet can bork. It can happen. I don't care who you are, what your system is, what hardware you're running on.
Even how minor they claim it might be.
Right.
Oh, it's just a little fix.
Right. You know, stuff happens. Make sure you've got good backups.
That little fix could create a bigger fix.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the installers will typically reboot 2 or 3 times, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And it scares you because you'll hear the startup chime and then the screen is black because it's doing more stuff before it can light the screen up again.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go over there, hit
that happened to me.
Yeah, hit the key, trying to is it on? Is it on? Is it on? No. Okay, 28 minutes left, and it lies. However long it says is left, it's lying.
It's lying. There is no question to that.
Especially when it says about a minute.
Yeah,
that's like an hour. No.
yeah,
close to it.
Yeah, I am always wary of updates. I always make sure I've got good backups.
You got to do a lot of praying.
I was checking with my daughter the other day. I do not have a Raspberry Pi 400, but my daughter does. I bought her one. I told you this last week.
Yay. Yeah. You said you might.
No, I did. I did. I bought her one.
And you didn't get one?
No, I don't have one. But my daughter does. And so.
Wait a minute. What? Time out.
We have a signal on the field. Time out.
I already explained to you. How are you professionally going to be able to help her when she has questions about her 400 if you don't have one?
I have a 4, which has the same
but
OS.
But that's not the 400.
Isn't that cheaper when you buy 2?
No.
You could have checked it. You could have tried to see if you get cheap.
At any rate, so she said it wants to do updates. And I know, I've disappointed you now. I'm going to feel bad.
All my teaching.
I know. Coaching. I know. Yeah. I
now you. See, she can gloat, yes. And you can't.
Don't think she hasn't.
Good. He's keep
waiting.
It up.
He's waiting for the 450.
Ooh. Don't start that rumor because there isn't one yet.
It'll go to the 5.
Yeah. But she did call me up and say, it wants to update. What should I do? I said, what have you got on it? She said, nothing yet.
Well, see,
yet.
If
said,
you had had one, you would have been able to tell her.
I did. I told her, what have you got? What have you put on it so far? She said, nothing. I said, then go ahead and update. And I reiterated that when you do an update, make sure you have backups. Make sure you have backups.
But see, this was a learning moment.
Let's get to the learning moment for everybody else, which is make sure you have backups.
I'm not going to let this rest.
I understand
you
that.
God, that's perfect. Opportunity I understand. To grab one.
I told you.
No, there it goes.
I told you, I'm this. Here I am. I'm this. You can get closer. You can't get close enough to see it. I know. I've disappointed you again. But I will tell you that it is, again, I don't care what your operating system is. You need to make sure that before you do an update on any operating system, you have a good backup. And particularly those of you still hanging around on Windows 7, any update to Windows 7 can brick your machine completely. That is to say, turn it into a brick, unable to boot. If you don't have a good backup, you will lose everything.
And it's likely to be an older computer still running Windows 7, which is more prone to age and die, too.
Right.
Especially that spinning hard drive that's been in there spinning for 10 years.
Yeah, and yes, that is absolutely the truth. So be very aware that when you do an upgrade, make sure you have good backups. And check those backups. Don't just say, oh, I backed up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Joe from Cheek.
Tawaga, New York.
There you go.
Turn
off your radio, Joe. You know this.
What?
I'm hearing an echo.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm
not feeding any WGMC audio. Sorry.
Okay. Well, whatever. But go ahead.
So, your person, your listener that wants to know about how to influence the YouTube algorithm. I did find a feature that let's back up here a second about good and bad web design. Now, on the YouTube page, when you put your mouse cursor over a video, a suggested video, there pops up a 3 vertical dots. Okay, Google, why did you need to make that disappear until the cursor's over it? Why can't you just leave it there? Otherwise, you may never discover that sucker. I just it annoys me to no end how they think that's better than just leaving it there. But nonetheless, when you click on that, there is a menu that will pop down, and one of the choices is not interested.
Right.
And when you click on that, the entire space that the video takes up turns into video removed, undo, tell us why. And you can click on tell us why, and it says, I've already watched this video. I don't like this video. And you can submit it. So presumably YouTube takes this into account, and if it shows you, it recommends a bunch of videos that you're really not interested in, it might alter or at least influence the algorithm.
Right, right. It doesn't, that really doesn't necessarily, I don't believe there's a choice for language.
No, there's no choice for language, but it's right. Like if you were citing the example before, oh, Tamil videos. Well, I don't really understand Tamil. Well, maybe if you click on not interested and I don't like this video enough, maybe it will not recommend Tamil videos anymore.
Maybe, yep. But I wanted to recommend my Kavadis.
Yeah. But in English. Now, right. Dubbed or subtitles, that's an argument.
It is. Yeah, you want, really, it's just a sports guy talking about it. So I don't really need the audio at all. But, anyway, yes, that makes sense, Joe. Thank you.
You're welcome. You gentlemen have a great day.
We Bye-bye. Will. You too. Thanks. There are a lot of features to YouTube that are pretty nice once you delve into it. But you can set all kinds of little features for those things, and you want to be careful of what that means. You can add it to a queue. You can save it to watch later. You can create your own little playlist. You can say you're not interested. You can report it for whatever reason. And that stuff is all there. Oh, and before we get back to the phones, let me remind everybody about the lounge tomorrow night. Every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we all meet in the Soundbites Lounge. Go to soundbites.org/lounge. And at 9 o'clock, a link will appear. Well, you'll have to refresh at 9 to see the link. And you can join us online. And it's a video chat, and we chat via video. It's pretty much that simple. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Hi, James, what's up?
Oh, hello. I have a question for you concerning the sea cleaner.
Yeah.
If I run that, I've run it before, will that eliminate my passwords where the next time I go into these websites, I have to put my password in again? Is there a way, if I run that, that it keeps the passwords and does whatever else it has to do?
Generally speaking, you have choices when you run something like CCleaner, one of which is to get rid of your history in your browser. And the history also includes your passwords.
Okay.
It should be a separate setting, though.
Yeah.
Because the password store
I don't have it here in front of me, but I believe it's a separate setting as to what CCleaner will remove. If you've just said everything, then yes, your passwords will be gone. You'll have to enter them again.
Okay, so I have to read through with the different things, and one of them is going to say I can keep my passwords so I don't have to keep re-entering them.
It could say saved logins instead of passwords.
Security settings.
Uh-huh, save logins.
Yeah. So, the language they use, I apologize, I don't have it in front of me right here, but so you got to think a little bit about what each choice really means, but one of them will be about your saved passwords, your security passwords, your login passwords. Those are the kind of words to listen for.
So it'll say something to do with passwords, and that's what I should keep an eye out for.
Yeah, logins. They might just say logins. They might just say security info, but it mostly will have the word but pay attention and read through it.
Pay attention. Yeah, and how often should I be running that? Like every 6 weeks? I don't know.
Depends on how much stuff you install and uninstall on a machine, because that's all CCleaner is doing, is going through and looking for stuff that you've installed and uninstalled.
Oh, it's looking through the new things, basically?
No, the whole registry.
But yeah, but if you've already cleaned the old stuff out, it's only going to find new stuff that it needs to clean. Yeah. A lot of people will only run it when they're having problems as a diagnostic tool. I'll run this and see if it fixes. I can't get into this web page or something.
Right. So
what would be your recommendation, Rob?
My recommendation personally is run it when your system seems to be running poorly.
Slowly, maybe.
Well, slowly or choppy or, you know, whatever. Or doing something you don't get.
Yeah, it seems to have slowed down a pinch.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll go ahead and when I use the free one, and I'll look through the questions they ask you before they get started.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, CCleaner is really, how often you run it, as we said, is dependent on how often you add and remove programs, because that's really what it was originally designed to do, is keep your registry kind of clean. It does a function similar to several other programs. Certainly doesn't hurt to run multiples of those kind of things. All right. Speaking of that stuff, what a segue.
Dun, dun, dun.
Norton LifeLock, which is all one word, by the way. Norton LifeLock. Norton LifeLock. And Avast, with or without an exclamation mark, are merging in a deal worth more than $8 billion with a B dollars. The deal will see Norton LifeLock acquire all of Avast's shares and create a much larger cybersecurity firm.
There goes Avast.
And yeah. Didn't Avast buy AVG a couple years ago, too?
Yes. With this combination, we can strengthen our cyber safety platform and make it available to more than 500 million users, says Vincent Pallette, Norton LifeLock CEO. We will also have the ability to further accelerate innovation to transform cyber safety. The combination should lead to antivirus products that include the benefits of Avast's focus on privacy and Norton LifeLock's experience in identity, all at a time when cybersecurity is critical for both customers and businesses. Man, if that's not a
line of BS.
Yeah. Ransomware is on the rise with new high profile cases occurring on what feels like a weekly basis. Gigabyte was hit by a ransomware attack earlier this week, and a large ransomware attack affected customers of Kaseya's remote IT management software last month. These attacks can often lead to supply chain attacks, ransomware incidents, or malware that affects regular consumers, too. Hackers managed to hide malware inside system cleaning utility CCleaner in 2017, and consumers are often the victims when databases of credit cards and personal information are leaked. Avast, which was founded in the Czech Republic, has been creating software for consumers and small businesses for 11 years and acquired AVG 5 years ago. Norton LifeLock is the former consumer side of Symantec, which was left behind after Broadcom acquired Symantec's enterprise security business 2 years ago. Norton antivirus has existed in various forms since 1991 and has remained a popular option for consumers for 30 years. Whew. Which antivirus do you prefer? Give us a call. And how often have you changed it? 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
I'm still using Avast. It's been great for...
It works.
Great, yeah.
We'll see what happens, but yeah. It works now. And that's
I got a feeling it's going to be mucked up.
Yeah. We keep seeing Norton getting or buying more and more companies and getting more and more complex. And that was its downfall 10 years ago. It was too complex. It was too resource hungry.
Oh,
and would slow your computer down to death. I had a computer in today that we were upgrading to a new computer, so migrating all our data, and Norton security pops up, and Norton web browser pops up, and Norton Wi-Fi link pops up, and all the Norton, and no.
Yeah.
We don't need all of this crap.
Yeah, well, that's the whole trouble. It's like all or none, and they get so aggressive.
Yeah.
That was their big problem umpteen years ago, that it got so aggressive, it blocked everything.
Yeah.
And it slowed your machine down so bad that they literally had to, you know, they were losing customers left and right. And they finally, you know, because McAfee was gaining space, that they had to say, okay, they backed off and they rebuilt the code from the ground up so that they could tout that it doesn't use as much resources, because that was the biggest complaint out there. And they were having a heck of a time fighting that because they couldn't argue against what was really happening.
And that's, they had the same problem that Microsoft has. They do their testing on very high-end machines. Of course, it's not going to be a problem on those machines. Also, they're not actually doing anything else but testing on those machines. But people are running web browsers and word processors and mail programs and everything else.
And going to different websites,
right?
All different websites.
On a lower-end machine, those are going to have issues. And people are not testing for those things.
And the way they tested it, too. You know, I mean, they, like you said,
get off
they
my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
They were doing it on low-end machines, and it was slowing them down so bad that that's what got them also in trouble.
That's right.
Because they didn't think of the little guy. Like you say, they're only worried about the big, powerful machines. And it's like, yeah, well, come down to reality where 75% of your base is.
That's
and,
exactly
you know,
right.
You'll click it up and... For the most part, you know, I'm not saying the viruses aren't out there, but there's a lot less of them compared to spyware and malware. Because these hacks that are out there, they have gotten wise. And from what I mean by that is they've learned that, yeah, the viruses, they, you know, take down a machine or like they took down, you know, I think it was CBS or one of those down. Oh, big deal. There was no monetary money that they got out of it. Whereas if they create spyware and malware and go into people's machines with just a small program and steal all, say, their email addresses, addresses and other personal information, they can resell that to other pirates out there.
Yeah,
and then they make money. And that's what they're after, is to make money.
They were joking on Security Now that they don't bother talking about ransomware attacks anymore because every week there's another 24 of them.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have enough time on the air.
And ransomware almost always comes from a phishing email. And so an antivirus is not going to be able to stop that.
Right. If you purposely install something...
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's a good thing, you're going to find that most of the anti-whatever programs are going to let you do it. It's your machine. So they're not going to stop you from doing something not so bright.
It'll probably pop up. Are you sure you want to install blah, 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 blah?
Right. They might. Yeah. And most people will then just say, yes, of course we do.
Nortin antivirus.
Yeah, right.
Sure. I'll install that.
Nort 0N. And yeah. You got to be aware. You got to be careful. Like we said to James, you got to read everything before you make a yes or no decision on whether or not to install something. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco. And with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. It's right here on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have John.
I said before that we should congratulate Ray on his 40th anniversary with...
41, isn't it?
It was supposed to be 40.
Yeah.
Oh, it was supposed to be 40.
Yeah.
That was a typo.
Ah. So good.
And Al's only been here 26 years.
Slacker.
Is that all?
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Pittsford, New York. Hiya, Don. What's up?
Hello. My question regarding antivirus programs that come with Windows. Defender, I believe, for Windows 10, and Essentials for Windows 7, or do I have those reversed?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, Defender for 10, I think, yeah.
Yep.
Whatever. Are those, in your estimation, are those programs adequate, or should one purchase or install an antivirus program in addition or instead of?
They're junk.
Well, the Windows Defender, which is the one in Windows 10, is okay.
And it has the advantage of already being in the kernel of Windows.
Right.
Anything you buy extra has to patch into the kernel, and that's usually where you run into problems.
Yeah, right. But no, the other thing is, though, they don't update it enough.
They don't update it enough, but they update it fairly regularly. But I would personally use something different. As far as Windows 7 is concerned, that the antivirus in that is junk, and it has not been updated in 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my old Windows 7 program is simply a storage device. I don't have that connected to the Internet or anything. But Windows 10, I guess, is what I'm most concerned about. I understand that if you have... You should not have two antivirus programs installed. There can be a conflict.
Right.
Is that also true that a purchased or additional free antivirus program for Windows 10 will conflict with Defender?
Yes.
And therefore, you should uninstall Defender.
At least stop it from running.
Yeah, you can't uninstall it, but you have to turn it off.
Disable it.
Just turn it off.
It is okay to run an AV program and an anti-malware program separately. But not two AV or two anti-malware at the same time, at least, especially.
Right.
How do you turn off and on Defenders?
In the security settings.
Generally, it will notice you have installed a new AV program and ask if you want to disable a Defender.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, you it sounds like your opinions are mixed. Nick, you're saying that... Defender is pretty good for 10.
Well, adequate.
Adequate, but adequate. Not good.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
And in terms of another free or purchase program, do you have or are you willing to make any recommendations?
Yes, securitytango.com. Securitytango.com is a website we've got running. That if you go there, you'll see across the top of the menus, you'll see Let's Dance, and that'll lead you through the Windows Waltz. But farther over is Windows Software, and there's software for antivirus and malware and firewalls and rootkit removers and all kinds of stuff. So including a section on stuff for Windows 7, although I no longer promise that any of that
is valid.
Is valid.
Or up to date.
Right.
Does your site make recommendations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And links to it.
All right. Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Have fun.
And, yeah, things are changing now that we just had a story that Norton is buying Avast, so we got to see if they ruin it or not. That's always the big problem. Why does one company buy another one? Are they looking to get the customers, or are they looking to get the engineers or the software? And do they ruin the old thing and force you to buy the new thing?
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing we have to remember is that no antivirus is perfect. And you must not get complacent. As Steve said, you don't want to run two of them simultaneously, but one that runs all the time is important. Every once in a while, turn that off and run a different one. And then turn it back on again when you're done. And also run malware regularly and all kinds of things. Basically, dance the security tango. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Gates, New York. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You are.
We are up. We are up today.
That's right. Another example of being careful of what you look at and how you read it, and read very carefully. I got an email this week from a local national internet provider, which I do have a financial relationship with, and it said your monthly bill is ready to be paid. We're going to charge your account this amount, which is five or six times greater than my normal monthly payment.
Ooh.
Wow.
The day before, I had already paid my monthly, and the company had sent me a receipt saying my balance was zero.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get this. No, looks very official. Looks just like the regular company logo. So I open it enough to see what's inside, just to make sure I'm reading the thing correctly.
Sure.
First thing I do is look at the address line, which was not a corporation address line.
Uh-huh. Good for you.
Now I'm pretty sure there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
And I look down, and there in very faint letters, very small, downloads only to PCs only. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But I'm safe because I'm running a Chromebook.
Right, so right, exactly.
I can't. Then one of the box that you had to click to download your bill or whatever,
yeah,
actually overlapped some of the graphics that should be clear. You should be able to see. You know,
sure, of course.
Right in the middle of a text line. He said, I think it's safe to throw this one out.
Yeah, I think you're right. So well done, you. That's exactly the right way to do this. Read and think before you click.
I wasn't going to click on that for anything.
Good for you. See, you are trainable.
Yeah. Educable is another question.
Yeah.
It's just not exactly. You have to read everything, not just on installing things. And I think that's really, don't be click happy there.
Right.
But every place else you go, even in your email.
Yeah, read and be skeptical.
Absolutely.
It is much more important to be skeptical. All right. Excellent. Thanks.
I'm skeptical about you guys sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's smart of you. Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Have fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Brian is absolutely right. It isn't just when you're installing something you have to think before you click. Every website you go to that tells you to click on something, every email you get that tells you to click on something, you need to think and pay attention. You know, if somebody walked up to you on the street and said, hey, I got a great deal, you'd be skeptical.
Yep.
You should be doubly skeptical about your email and about websites.
But we feel safe in the privacy of our own home looking at our own computer.
That's exactly right. It's just a click. What can be the problem?
There's been a similar scam running through the app stores on Apple and Google where you've downloaded an app and it offers a subscription. Oh, it's $29.99. Oh, that's nice. You don't notice that it says per week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people have been ripped off for thousands of dollars because they don't notice that per week. So
they don't look at their
statements. Your credit card bill or your statements. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, Nick. Niagara Falls.
Slowly I turn, step by step, inch by inch. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to mention that not only is it, you know, important to run a current, you know, always running antivirus, but what I do is whatever browsers I'm using, I get the extensions for Malwarebytes. I get the extension for Komodo Online Security Pro, and I get the extension for Avast Browser Security and Web Reputation plugin.
Yep.
And I find that both the Malwarebytes and the Komodo Online Security catch a lot of things and won't let them load.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you're right. We should talk about that more often. Most of the legitimate, and I hesitate to remind you over and over again, legitimate antivirus programs and anti-malware programs do have extensions that are available for most web browsers.
Although it does seem to be that the free versions you have to scan on yourself.
Right.
The pay version has the automatic scanning.
Right. In addition to that, please, if you get an offer to insert an extension for AVG, don't do it. You can get your own extension from the AVG or Avast or whoever website and install it yourself. Make sure you're on the correct website. Make sure you're getting the correct extension for your browser. And then, and only then, install it.
Yeah, the safest way I found is to get it through the browser's plug-in store or whatever you want to call it. Like Chrome has their own store, and they have a reputation for kind of filtering out these scams. Same thing with Mozilla.
Yep.
Any Mozilla browser does the same thing. And I find what these don't catch, the browser catches too and says, this looks shady, sketchy, get out of here.
Yep.
And so those are three things that I usually do.
Those are very good things, but again, you gotta be sure you're getting the right one. There are a lot of scam or close enough or real near names that you gotta be careful of. I use one called WOT, the Web of Trust.
I used to use that, yes.
Yeah, and what that does is for every link in it, for example, if you do a web search on Google, when you see the links, next to them will be a little circle. If it's green, Web of Trust knows it's good. If it's red, Web of Trust knows it's bad. And if it's gray, they don't have enough information.
Right. Same thing with the Avast plugin.
Yep.
It has a little shield that goes by the... link, and also there's a one called Stoplight that's made by I can't remember the name of the antivirus company, one of the bigger ones that's been Defender, Bit Defender makes Stoplight, and it does the same thing. So those are really cool. Going back, also the gentleman that's running that wants to run the sea cleaner.
Before you go there, let me also mention that you should match the extension to the antivirus you're running.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. The gentleman that's running Sea Cleaner.
Yeah.
If he goes into options at the bottom, it will give him a list of things he can customize. Some of them are for pay only, but one of the things he can customize is his cookies. Yeah. And there's arrows that he can drag a list of all the cookies on your system, and he can drag his banking cookies over and his email cookies over and everything he needs to save for cookies that he doesn't want to get rid of. And sometimes it finds the ones that are most important for you too and does it. But he can go through the list.
Perfect.
But they are cryptic, so he's got to be careful.
Again, read and think before you do anything.
Exactly.
Yep. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, gentlemen.
Have fun. Yeah, it's today's motto is read and think before you do anything.
But I don't want to think.
I know. I'm sitting in my chair, and I don't want to think.
Okay, Richard, hold on.
I've got a beverage in my hand and music on the radio, and... I'm surfing away, and now you want me to think? What is wrong with you? Seriously.
That's not right.
That's not right. All right. Let's head back to the phones. Our next caller is Richard from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Richard. What's up?
Hi, guys. Two questions. I have a router on the second floor, and it's shooting the signal fine to the TV and the computer on the second floor. But it's a little weak, and it won't hit the two TVs on the first floor too well. I have an old router. I have a router up there, but I have an old one. Can one double router, one system, rather than me having to go buy a stronger router?
It is unlikely, but it is not impossible. Some routers can be used as extensions.
And generally, they want to be the same brand of router.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to check through the manual for that older router as to whether or not it will work.
Yeah, sometimes it would call it allow this network to be extended. Sometimes it called it the WDS, the wireless distribution system, and that's how routers used to talk to each other and extend the network. One of the ways they did that was by splitting the signal in half. And half the signal went forward to extend the network, and half the signal went backward to the previous router for its back channel. And in the new mesh networks that have been released in the last couple of years now, it has a completely separate radio for the back channel. So you get full speed going forward. We really like the Eero router, and you can get a 3-pack for $220 or something like that. And then replace your whole network system with the new Eero with the newest wireless technology in it, and then you've got your main plus two satellites you can scatter around your house.
Yeah.
So that's what you call Eero?
Eero, E-E-R-O.
That's the brand name. Okay.
Yep. And Linksys has their Velop brand. Netgear's is Orbi. Most of the main router companies have mesh networks. So generically, it's called a mesh network, M-E-S-H.
I've read about them. Yeah.
And it's really easy to add another mesh device. But again, it has to be the same brand into your network to extend the range even farther.
Oh, okay.
Google has one more question. Yeah.
I have a Chromecast. I've got a Chromebook. It will not work wirelessly. By that, I mean electrically. I can plug the out adapter in. It'll work. When I pull the adapter out, even though it's been in all night long charging, presumably charging the battery, it will not work without electricity. Might there be a dead battery in this thing? Possibly.
Yep. Sure. How old is it?
3 or 4 years, but it's probably had only 12 hours worth of use. I buy these toys, play with them, and put them away. So
The battery. Batteries age in two ways. The number of recharge cycles and the age of the battery.
Age itself. Yeah. So, it is not unlikely
it's not holding a charge.
It's just simply dead.
So even with disuse or no use, the battery can still
fade
away.
Oh, yeah. That's why even D cells and you know alkaline batteries have a shelf life. After that time, they start losing charge pretty quickly.
Yes, I'm aware of that one. Okay, and it's possible on a computer as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Many, especially desktops, the computer is a CR2032 wafer type battery. Laptops, it's often trickier to get to the battery to replace it.
Well, I think he's talking about the main laptop battery.
Mm-hmm. That too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Richard. I have an old satellite. In fact, Brian gave it to me. I have an old satellite that I'm using to do some stuff with, and I just took the battery out of it and leave it plugged in all the time. If you're going to leave a computer plugged in all the time, and you can remove the battery, if you're going to leave a laptop plugged in all the time, and you can remove the battery, you really should.
Yep.
Actually, that's probably kind of true of any battery-powered device.
That's
true. Your cameras, your flashlights.
Yeah.
Because, especially the flashlight, the power goes out once a year, you go to grab your flashlight, it doesn't work, the batteries are dead, they've corroded the inside of the flashlight. I got some wind-up flashlights because of that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I have a wind-up and I have a shake weight.
Yep. Because the flashlight on your cell phone only lasts as long as your cell phone battery.
That's exactly right. Also, I do have one that is specifically designed to be plugged into the wall. It charges and stops and recharges itself. And then if the power goes out, it goes on as a nightlight. And then when you pick it up, it comes on as a full flashlight.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that's actually pretty nice. I don't know if it'll... I should test it.
Yeah. Kill the power in your house, see if it works.
Or just pull it out of the wall. There's an
idea. Yeah, at night and see if it can go around and use it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've learned not to walk through my house in the dark anymore because I have two cats.
It used to be Legos.
It used to be Legos. Now it's cats. Cats, believe me, are worse.
Yep,
They'll climb up your whole leg when you step on them.
I wasn't even thinking stepping on the cat. I was thinking on the cat's leavings.
Leaves in the litter box. So we at least they're trained to do that.
Unless they're mad at you.
Unless they're mad at you, that's right. We try not to.
And we have so many cats. There's always one mad at us.
Yeah. Are they strictly indoor cats?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need outdoor cats.
They will go out during the day, but you have to get them back in at night because they'll disappear.
They run
away at night because they're scared. But then they won't come back in.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the reason.
Yeah. And Shirley's been out of town this week, so they've been in the house all week.
Yeah, we have two cats right now, and one day I left to go to work. I left to go somewhere, and I looked, and we have barn cats, garage cats, who stray, feral, wild cats. And I went to get in my car, and I looked over, and I said, there was a cat sitting on the porch staring at me wide-eyed. I said, man, that looks like Bella. That's amazing. I mean, I knew we had a barn cat that kind of looked like Bella, but I mean, this was pretty amazing.
Do you have an Edward, too?
No. We did not name these cats. They were Thor and Bella were named before we got them. And so I looked at the cat, and it was shivering and staring, and I said, look, it really looks a lot like Bella. It was dead winter, a foot of snow. So I went in the house. I looked everywhere in the house for Bella. No Bella anywhere. Opened the front door. She came trotting in, gave me this meow like, the hell took you so long? And she went to sleep. And I went and we figured out later that she must have snuck out. My wife in the morning went and looked on the porch for some package she was expecting, and Bella must have snuck out.
They know they're not supposed to go out, so they do.
Yeah. Well, but because it was A, dead of winter, and B, a foot of snow everywhere, she has not gone near that door in the last, like, 9 months now. The door opens, she's gone the other way.
Yeah, she's afraid to. I don't want to go back out there.
One of our dogs had been astray, and we took him in. And he just always wanted to go. I mean, always wanted to go out. One day, he ripped past me out the back door. And just as he got about halfway down the driveway, a huge lightning bolt came down nearby. Thunder was instantaneous and so loud, I thought it had burst my eardrums. And he was back, and he did not actually run back in the house. He teleported back into the house.
I was going to say, did he even hit any steps?
No, he did not go through that intervening space.
One big leap.
Einstein should have seen it. It was spooky action at a distance. Yep. One moment he was halfway down the driveway. The next moment he was under the kitchen table. And again, he didn't even approach. I had a tough time getting him out to do his business for the next few weeks.
Have you seen that picture of the black and white cat at the window, all soaking wet, glaring in the window? We have five of those.
Yeah. We have a.
We actually have a black and white one that looks just like that.
Yeah, we have a cat door. We had. It's now boarded up. We had a cat door for a cat that was an outdoor cat. You weren't going to stop her. She was going to be an outdoor cat.
Mm-hmm.
She lived 16 years. But she would, you know, she had that door and she'd be in and out all day long and doing whatever she wanted to do. And, of course, we had little presents that she would leave us, little birds and mice and stuff, which was very sweet of her. Because clearly we were completely too friggin' stupid to hunt for ourselves.
Yeah,
she'd bring us.
I read a cute story. I think it was probably on the Escape Pod weekly science fiction audio book. And a cat saved the Earth from an alien invasion because the alien was small and nearly invisible, and it was the scout, and the cat fought back. and the alien learned cat language, and of course the cat was upset that you're trying to kill my person,
right?
And so the cat fought back, and the person kept getting grossed out by these strange bits of skin and things around the house from the alien that the cat was killing.
All right, that music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank all of you. All of you who called in and all of you who voted in the poll. You still certainly have time to continue to vote in the poll, particularly those many, many hundreds of you who listen to the podcast. It only takes you half a minute to get to soundbites.org and vote in the poll. So please do. But we are done for another week. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Yes, that would be Soundbites, right here in the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you, because with your generous support, we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?
Official WGMC contest rules are available online at www.jazz901.org.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District.